I have no idiosyncrasies.
That's not true.
Hello, and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we are simplifying the good life. My name is Brock Dittus.
And I'm Aaron Flores, broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
The heart of where?
Cascadia.
I spent the whole weekend in Cascadia. It was lovely.
I spent the whole weekend in Cascadia.
Yeah. We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way.
Covering bicycling, trains and transit, and simpler living. And today, big time radio personality.
That's right. Meg Keyes is in the studio with us. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
That's funny.
We say that because you are part of the KBOO Bike Show.
I am.
It's a long and storied tradition. It's been over 10 years that it's been around, right?
Yeah, I think so. I've been there for...
It's like 12 or something?
I've been there for 3 months.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. But you're quickly ascending to the ranks of KBOO stardom here in town. So KBOO is the community radio station here in town.
Call letters.
Yeah, yeah. Because there's, what is it, 90.7? Sounds right?
That sounds
yeah.
right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Everybody's on the internet these days. It's where I get my radio. But if you are in Portland and you haven't heard it, you can hear it every Wednesday?
Wednesday.
First Wednesday of every month at
That's
11.
Right. Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then we also have the podcast, and you can subscribe on iTunes.
And it's easy to catch up because it's only a monthly show.
Yes.
So even, what is that, 12 times 10? So that's 120 shows by now. But they're all generously archived by Chris Smith.
They are very generously archived by Chris Smith.
Yeah, Chris Smith is the godfather of Portland Transport.
Yeah.
Yeah.
.org.
I did not know he was the archiver.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the archiver of the show.
He's Mr.
Streetcar. He's got all of it.
He is Mr. Streetcar. I've been impressed by just his willingness to kind of get into all of the process and make everything happen for people that don't want to get around with the car.
Yeah.
He is a god among men.
Yeah.
And he's probably listening right now. That's what I was going to say. Chris, thank you. Thank you for that.
Yes, thank you, Chris.
Yeah, but also thank you, Chris, for generously archiving all of the KBOO shows, because there's some bike history in there. If you go back and plumb the depths, like, you can find out what was happening in Portland with bikes 10 years ago, back when it was still kind of getting started and almost not even a thing. So I have enjoyed many
just
of
for
those.
The history of it. Now I really want to go back there.
Yeah, and it's on iTunes. So if you got one of those little things in your pocket that gets podcasts, you can listen to it there. So
it we're going to in my pocket. I'll be damned.
Meg, we're going to talk to you a little bit in a little bit about being on the show and about being in Portland and about coming from other places and all that. So, thanks for coming to the garage.
I'm glad to be here.
Yeah.
Thanks for the beer.
Of course. Yeah. Matter of fact, thank you, the beer mongers. You know where those fine people are?
I believe they're on Southeast 12th and Division.
That's right. Yeah, Southeast Division and 12th, or whichever you prefer. The syntax doesn't matter.
I don't know. For whatever reason, I've always put the number before the name.
Yeah, I think the corner is what's important. If you know where those coordinates are, then you can easily find the beer mongers, because they have tasty beverages that you don't want to miss out on.
That's right.
Guess what I did today on my lunch break?
You went to the beer mongers?
I did, as a
really?
Matter of fact. I didn't go to consume anything because I had to go back and drive a vehicle afterwards.
Right.
That would be wrong, and I wouldn't do such a thing.
No.
But there was the thing that I did this weekend that took all of the weekend, so I didn't get to go in and pick up the beers for today.
Oh, okay.
So with 5 hours till showtime, I'm like, what do I do with my lunch? I'm off a little bit early. And so instead of taking an hour lunch, I take an hour and a half lunch, which is just enough time to bicycle from Marine Drive.
Holy shit.
Down to Division 12.
All the way down there.
Yeah. Or 12th and Division. And I pick up some beers. Sean was there working the store. And he was talking about how it was just about time to turn on the AC and close the roll door.
Oh,
so there's a sweet spot of whatever time where you can show up and you can be there. And either the door will be open and you'll be enjoying the balmy breezes, or it'll be so hot that you'll be ready to go into an air-conditioned space. And they know
when that is.
To the degree when they need to do that. So, the beer mongers.
I'm trying to get my roommates turned on to that same kind of rhythm where, when it's cooler in the evenings or in the mornings, to leave the windows open.
Oh, yeah.
But then shut them before it gets hot.
Right. Trap the cool air when it's going to be hot and trap the warm air when it's going to be cold. Yeah, that can be hard to work out. Yeah.
2:30 to 5:30, just so you know.
What's that?
That's the like hot hour in the summer of Portland.
Okay. So that's when you should have your windows
right around
shut.
3 o'clock. I'll be like, oh my gosh, it's so hot out here.
Yeah.
And then like right around 5:30, 6, you're like, I'm kind of chilly.
I always used to want to have both a thermometer on the inside of the house next to the window and a thermometer on the outside of the house, like on the window, so I could compare the temperatures inside and outside
and figure out
should these windows be open or shut for the effect that I want to achieve. Huh. I've never done that, but well, now I have a house that has like central heating now. And when I say I have a house, I mean I rent a house.
You rent a house
in Southeast Portland, yeah, with central air, but it gives you those temperatures, which is kind of cool. So now I know. Well, is it economical to turn on the air conditioning yet? It is, in fact. Let's close the windows.
You have air conditioning?
I do have air conditioning.
You're pretty fancy.
I know. It's the first time it's ever happened in any of the houses I've ever lived in, I'm pretty sure.
Did you ever feel guilty about air conditioning?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was raised, my family, like, barely ever turned on the heat and barely ever turned, well, we didn't have air conditioning, so of course we didn't turn that on either.
Right.
But, yeah, I sometimes feel guilty about, like, I shouldn't be enjoying this cool blast of air.
I have an AC unit in my room.
Yeah.
That, you know, came with the room that
Wait,
I'm renting.
Is it just in the room or
well,
is it
I mean,
not
it's
in the window?
In the window.
Okay.
It's in the window.
Okay.
And I moved in like, what?
just set it on a chair.
I feel so guilty about it. It's just sitting there and the Freon's inside and...
My guilt isn't so much of the energy that it's using as it is I just haven't installed the damn thing.
It so badly wants to serve its function, and I'm denying it that.
No. So it's in the window when I got the room.
Yeah.
And I got there in March, so, you know, it was cold.
Not super hot in March.
No. So I immediately wrapped it in garbage bags.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so now that, like, you know, these last few weeks... We've had these hot days, and my roommates are like, oh, can we hang out in your room and, like, enjoy the AC? Like, you can hang out in my room if you want, but you're not going to be enjoying any AC. I've yet to pull any of the plastic off of it.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Aren't you supposed to take those out of the window seasonally?
Probably. It was there when I got there.
It is
one of those weird things. As a tenant, what are my responsibilities? And I honestly felt really guilty even just wrapping it in plastic garbage bags. But I know, like, coming from Michigan, that's kind of one of the things you do to, like, central air units is you wrap it in plastic so, you know, any of the rain or whatever doesn't screw up with the mechanics of the thing.
You close it off from the elements.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, but taking out of the window in the winter and shutting, that would be more economical.
Putting a towel by the bottom of the window to keep any moving air currents so you can hot box. So I hear. Hey, can I
learned
tell you?
That one in college at Illinois State University.
Can I tell you what I did this weekend?
You should.
I had... an amazing weekend. Adele and I went out for a 3-day. I took a rare day off from work, which is not a thing I usually do. Matter of fact, depending on how many workers we have, I was very happy when you got hired and when many other people got hired because that meant that like more people could take time off.
Right.
But it was finally time for me.
I already took one of my first sick days.
There you go. Well, they're there. You got to use them.
And they don't.
Oh, sick time rolls
over.
Oh,
sick days do.
This is inside talk about work.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Finance
Where
section.
Where do you guys work?
We work for a local prominent school district. It's the public schools in Portland, the city. I'll let you guess what it's called.
PPS?
Oh, my God.
But no, it'd be the personal time, the personal paid time does not roll over.
Right.
But your sick hours accumulate. I've got like, you know, I could be sick for... 4 weeks or something now and be great. But I took some time off, took a 3-day weekend, and Adele got the same time off, and we attempted to retrace the path of the path less pedaled. So Russ and Laura, almost 10 years ago now.
You retrace the path less pedals path.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
That's meta, right?
It's kind of meta. So. Yeah.
Existential?
You can see the thing happening
right now. What you should do next then is write a review of their review of that trail.
There we go. And then maybe they would go out and do the trip that we did that they did a long time ago.
Right.
They did it with Purple and Orange, which was kind of cool. Because it's, I don't know, I'm sure you can find the video. I haven't looked for it recently. But they did a short video production on this little weekend trip that they did. And they did it on Brompton's, I think. And they celebrated with an alcoholic beverage called Pelotini's, which was cool because, you know, Peloton, Pelotini, smaller.
Oh, right.
Did you celebrate with a Pelotini? And what is a Pelotini?
I celebrated with beer.
Pelotini sounds good.
It does, yeah. I would almost, I would make one except for the fact that I prefer beer to mixed drinks.
No, it was, didn't they like have like a blender with them? Or they took some sort of something with them.
At least a shaker.
That like normally you wouldn't take on a bike trip.
Gonna have to, I'll look into this. We'll link to the video once I find it. We went out first to the Nestucca River Valley, which is actually... So we went over the West Hills, which is a lot of climbing. And then we went over this hill down in Tigard or Beaverton, like right on the border. Murray Hill, I want to say. Super tall hill. Doesn't seem like it's going to be, but then it is. And then we got to, it's not Yamhill, but I want to say Bald Peak, which is between the Yamhill Valley and whatever valley is on the other side. So super big climb there. And then we had to climb again to get back over the Coast Range to the Nestucca River Valley, where the campsite was that we went to. So that was super cool. Ended up being almost as much climbing as Ron.
Oh, really?
Almost, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Except we ended up at a cool campground at the
end. I was really like excited about this and kind of wanting to retrace your steps, but now I don't want to do it.
Ron was, 7,500 feet of climbing
at
all?
It was close. Yeah.
And I calculated our trip, and we did apparently like 5,500, so...
Wow.
It's getting up there.
Yeah.
But we camped out there, hung out, met a cool guy named Dan who might or might not call in, who definitely has one of our stickers.
Cool.
And then the next day we rode to Cape Lookout State Park, which you've been to.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a cool place.
Once we dumped off our gear, we rode back up to the top of Cape Lookout, which have you done that hill?
Uh-uh.
You probably haven't. Uh-uh. It's a killer. It's about the same height as Mount Scott, so like 800 something feet.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Same kind of like steepness.
Yep, super steep. So okay. we went up that one to get to Cape Lookout, and then we went up it again to do the hike.
Which, by the way, great place to watch the sunset.
It really is.
The cemetery on Mount Scott.
Oh, that one.
Yeah.
Really? I've never done that.
Not a lot of people go there.
It's, right. Well,
it's,
I mean,
you know,
a lot of people
not as central
are
as
there.
Mount Tabor.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people there,
yeah.
Or at least their remains.
True.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. So, did that, hung out by the beach, watched the sunset by the beach. I got some lens flare,
cool.
Which was cool. And then the next day we went back over the Coast Range, ended up in Gales Creek where there's a bar. It's a cool bar.
Really?
Yeah.
Like
and
near the camp, Gales Creek?
Kind of, sort of, like near the town of Gales Creek, the town of Gales Creek. And
that's not where that diner is.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's very close to that, except it's a tavern, so... And it's a biker bar draw, like a bunch of bikers
Cool.
go out for weekend rides and then they end up there. And so we were sitting there in this nearly empty tavern and then all these old, like 50-year-old biker dudes walk in from the smoking section and there's like something on the television about Donald Trump and one guy's just like, yeah, all right, he's got my vote. And so, yeah, it was just kind of a lot of that. And we realized like we're so close to the city. But we're not in the city.
Right.
as far as, you know, just like the political climate and who you might expect to meet in that particular place. So, and then we came home via Max. But
nice.
I think in all, it was nearly 10,000 feet of climbing this weekend, which was a lot. But it was super fun. And I realized, Nathan Jones goes out on, just long-ass rides. And right. I never quite understood how that was possible until, this weekend... I think I was bit by the bug where I want to go
really?
Out and you ride just, longer distances. I
want to
push myself.
Going.
I want to sweat
yeah.
and get like caked salt on my brow and drink beer in small town bars and then keep on riding. So that's kind of, I think I understand like kind of the appeal and I've had that before,
yeah.
like kind of by necessity, but now I think I understand why you might choose that. So that's how I spent my weekend anyways, but it was a good time.
Man.
So, yeah.
Okay, so now I'm back to being jealous.
Okay. You're allowed.
Yeah, but there were hills.
Yeah, they were
like,
ridiculous
this
hills.
This is the thing. Coming from the East Coast and from Illinois, like, I love long-distance riding. I love touring. But I do not like climbing. like downhill, I'll kick all your asses. That's like, right. Don't you worry. I've got gravity on my hand. But, like, I just getting up there. I finally got over the whole thing where it's like, I'll just meet you on the top. And if you get impatient, I'll just meet you at home.
Yeah.
like, that's like where I'm at this point.
That's kind of how I did the run.
There you go.
Oh, I won't ever. I don't even want, like, I mean, like, I heard about that and I was like, yeah, no.
it's a certain kind of fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I said this last week, but Adele, once we got to the top, Adele was like, yeah, so now you can say you did it and you won't have to do it again, or now you can choose to do it again. And I was like, nah, I'm not going to do it again.
Never, ever.
No.
Yeah.
No.
But you got to find the kind of fun you like and go pursue that.
Yeah.
I think whatever it is that turns your crank, you got to find that and do it.
I like the turn of phrase there.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I like 60 to 80 mile, like, flat, long days along a river that you can just, like, jump into if you want.
Yeah.
Like, that was the best week of my life. I was like, yeah, this is great.
Tell us about that week.
Oh, it was, made a dumb decision and decided a week before a week before I got on a bus to go to Montreal with a 3-speed Schwobo that I was going to bike from Montreal down the St. Lawrence River on the Canada side.
Really?
Ooh.
To a friend's family home in the St. Lawrence River. And I did it, and I did it by myself, and I planned it like it was maybe like 2 weeks before I got on the bus to go.
Yeah.
Turns out I'm not good at miles to kilometers.
Oh, really?
Conversion.
Oh.
That was a big issue.
Wait, was it favorable or unfavorable?
Unfavorable.
Okay, so the conversion was not good.
3-speed Schwobo was a bad idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they're cool bikes. I think I rode
it was
one
a great,
in Boston, but
honestly,
they're not. Yeah.
It's a tank. It was like the best kind of tank you could take. Like, you can't screw up anything on that bike. Like,
yeah.
Internal hub. Like, it was very, like, easy in all of those capacities, but as soon as I had any climbing, even the smallest of climbing,
right?
And then as the third day got, like, the third day was my final long day, and I thought I was done. I thought I was 5 or 10 miles from campsite.
Uh-huh.
And I was 20.
Oh. Ooh. God. Okay, so that's...
I do not know how I did that one at all.
Right.
And I was drinking a beer at a bar at that point, thinking I only have like 5 more miles, I'm gonna be great,
I'll stop in for a pint.
Yeah. And then, like, the guy at the bar was like, you got a long way to go. And I was like,
what time of day was it when you
found
this
out?
Oh,
yeah. It was like 5 o'clock.
Okay.
Oh, no.
And it was starting to rain.
Miles.
And that whole day was like the only day where, because most of it was rails to trails. And so, like, most of it was like beautiful, easy path riding.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that was the only day where it was like shoulder riding.
This segment.
Rolling hills. Getting closer to Lake Ontario the entire time. So, like, the headwinds were getting insane. The storm was approaching.
It just got worse and worse and worse.
It did.
For you.
It did.
Yeah. That's the crazy thing about riding near water. And I forgot about this until I got close to the ocean this weekend. But, yeah, like, the closer you get to water, generally, it's either you're going to have an amazing tailwind or a terrible headwind.
Yeah. And, like, the first 2 days, I had this amazing tailwind. I mean, it was just no wind. It was just this, like, meandering flat path along the canals.
Effortless gliding.
It was beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I was by myself, and it was the first time I was camping alone as well.
Yeah. How was that?
Awesome.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You like it?
I was terrified.
Uh-huh.
Won't lie. Like, I had mace, and I mean, I was living in Brooklyn at the time.
Right.
And I was like, but I'm going to
do you're
this.
Ready. You're ready.
I'm going to go. I'm going to, like, stay in Canada, and I'm going to camp by myself, and... Yes,
I was fucking stab anybody.
I was going through a massively horrible breakup, too, so I was like, women empowerment.
We'll fucking stab that guy.
Yeah. If he was in Canada, probably.
Okay.
But
you were prepared.
I was. I had mace. I had... So my grandmother... This is... Okay, segue. My grandmother, in her late 60s, my grandmother and grandfather put all their stuff in storage, lived out of their Econoline van.
Oh, nice.
And
a 350?
On their bikes. I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. It had wood paneling. That's all I remember.
There you go.
And my grandfather made, like, one of those... you can still see it sometimes on the road. The hanger on the back of the van window where it's, like, the closet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So he had his, like, closet in the back because, you know, you need to have pressed shirts on the road.
Oh, right.
Well, to impress people, yeah.
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 So they lived on their bikes for about 2 years in their late 60s.
Fascinating.
And my grandmother was you know, an avid cyclist in her sixties.
Yeah.
She never really had a driver's license.
But she rode a lot of bike.
She did ride a lot of bike.
Okay.
She delivered, not Fannie Mae. She delivered Almay. Is that the name of the company? The Midwestern like face cream company.
Was that right?
Yeah. Like a Mary Kay type of thing.
Okay.
Fascinating.
On a bike. Cause she didn't have a car.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I called her and I was like, I'm going to go on this bike ride in 2 weeks. What should, you know, what are your suggestions and advice? And she said, get a dog whistle because they're going to chase you. Which, because she didn't go fast. She was old. So they did chase her.
Yeah.
And then she said, ice cream is never a good idea at lunch.
Oh, really? Like always save.
Yeah. Save it for when you want to crash.
Okay.
Is that like the sugar rush thing or like the sugar?
It was the sugar and I think a little bit of the dairy. I mean, like she was in her 60s when she was riding. So.
Right. So this is advice like about her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there was the other. What was the other one? I wish you wouldn't go alone, but if you're going to do it, just take a sharp knife with you. That
there
was the
you
other
go. So. So you can fucking stab somebody.
Yep. Grandma Alice. She knows her shit.
What was the experience like? Because, I mean, we've talked to, like, my wife has done some solo tour. We've talked to some other ladies who have done some solo touring. But it's not very common. So what was it? What was the experience like for you?
It was awesome, actually. It was the easiest and best way to do it. Like, for anyone who is, like, you know, like, I think a week before I left, I hadn't even really ridden 50 miles in one given day.
Yeah.
So it was perfect in that capacity because I was like on these like beautiful, clean paths and I'm in Canada and like I try and speak French and everybody would be like, oh, no, don't worry. You can speak English. And, like,
isn't that cute? You try to speak our language.
Yeah, exactly. And it was in the middle of the week. And so the only other people out on the bike lanes in the middle of the week are like 60 to 80 year old men.
Okay.
And like some of their wives that are like in these packs and I remember like channeling my grandfather while I was biking because it was like I just kept seeing old guys like everywhere where I was like, okay, this is like, you know, I'm like the young girl. And like the second night I checked into the campsite, I stayed at this bird sanctuary in Canada and I checked in and they were like, oh, we've been waiting for you. And I was like, what? Waiting for me?
People are sending word ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and the thing is, I had gone and like laid in a field for a while and went swimming because like I was along the canals. So like I would go swimming constantly.
Yeah. Why not?
It was hot and it was fun. And so I checked into the campsite and they're like, that's like the like Canadian Bees, which was one of the old group of cyclists that I had run into earlier in the day.
They were called the Bees.
The Bees.
Nice.
Yeah. And they had rode out to the bird sanctuary. Left their phone number and contact information in case I didn't make it.
Oh,
yeah.
That was so nice.
That's
and I mean,
cool.
It was like the sweetest thing ever. And so, yeah. And then like stayed in bird sanctuary.
Nice. So. That's what you would expect, I suppose, from Canada. But I mean, the thing is that like those sorts of things happen with surprising regularity whenever you go out into an unfamiliar place.
Yeah. Well, and I think the only thing that like the only time that I was legitimately scared was that moment that I like was in the bar drinking a beer, having 20 miles to go.
Scared by distance?
Well, scared by distance. The guy I was talking to was a little too creepy. He was like, oh, 20 miles is a lot. Why don't you just stay at my house tonight?
And
I was
like, oh, no.
I got to get the hell out of here. I'm out. Then I remember biking out of that town and like seeing this giant hill coming and being like, God, you idiot. Like, you're so screwed. And this like Camaro type of car, like some fancy red sports car, was like creeping alongside the road.
Oh, yeah.
Next to me.
Like next to you.
Yeah. As I'm like biking down the road, fully loaded, like to remember. And like, I was like, what the? This? Yeah. And then I had this moment. I'm like, am I going to get kidnapped by a guy in a fancy sports car? Because like, that's probably okay, right?
It could happen.
Like, it's better than like some meth head and like a broke down Honda.
It's better than riding 15 more miles.
Car, right? You know, I'm like, you know, at least I like have good accommodations for a little bit.
It's got to have some kind of income, right? Yeah.
You would think.
And then I realized that he was teaching his kid how to drive stick.
Oh. That makes way more sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I had one of those like come to Jesus moments where I was like, okay, cool. You've accomplished it. You can go home and just chill out for a while.
Right on.
There you go.
So
is that the kind of moment where you're like, you know, you need to look over to see what's going on, but you're not sure if you want to.
Yeah. Like that fear where you're like, yeah. like, oh, there's a train wreck over there. I know it. It's, you kind of get that a lot downtown. Like if you're ever like near the encampments or like if you're like biking through Selwood, like down the, or sorry, the Springwater in early mornings.
Okay. Where people are living outdoors.
Yeah. And you're like, I really kind of want to see what you're doing, but I know you're taking a shit.
Right.
In the woods.
Right.
Because it's morning time and that's what you do.
Well, yeah. Statistically. More shits are taken in the morning than any other time. With surprising regularity. So, yeah.
But also, my grandmother did give me the knife advice. I also bike. If I bike on the Springwater by myself, I always have a knife on me, too.
Yeah. That is an interesting thing because did I tell you about this, Aaron? I was thinking about how, like, for the longest time, I've thought, like, the whole thing about, you know, people are homeless on the Springwater Corridor. It's dangerous.
Right.
I've thought it's kind of, like, overblown and, like,
I did, you know, for a while, too.
Privileged people complaining.
Like, yeah.
But I feel like it's kind of gone up a couple of notches in the past couple of years.
It's gone up a lot of notches.
Because there's so many people out there, and the encampments seem to be so permanent. And again, you don't know, like, what they're up to. It could just be they're taking a shit. But
well, when you have a mayor who literally is getting sued because he gave it full range for homeless people to live on the streets of Portland.
Yeah, there is that.
You know. Yeah, and yeah, then also have like this like white privilege, like, you know, heroin and meth epidemic happening.
Right, right.
So
well,
that's
yeah,
what scares me the most.
It didn't really, it's I said earlier, we're kind of a city built on stopgaps. Like this is a great example of this is, you know, the mayor sees that, oh, there's a problem with homelessness and affordability of housing. We'll just make it easier for people to live on the street then. We're not going to do anything to change the fact that, like, people are getting kicked out of their houses. People can no longer afford to rent a place here. You know, we're not doing anything to curtail some of the root problems of homelessness. We're just going to make it easier for you to be homeless.
Yeah, it's not like we're going to throw money into, like, actually building facilities that you could live in or get mental health
or get help.
Or,
yes.
Yeah. And that's
There has been talk about like what might be done to kind of stem some of the problems and solve some of the problems, but at this point it is just talk. It's speculation. It's not actual. Like there are a few things that have been done. I'm not saying there are none that have been done, but there are a few things compared to the size of the issues that we're dealing with. So yeah, so that all comes back to carrying a knife when you ride on the trail because you're not sure what's going to happen.
Well, but I think that the thing about that is though, it's like everybody kind of has that vibe about Portland where it's like, well, you know, you could call 911, but you're going to sit on hold for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So instead of calling 911, I'm just going to make friends with my neighbor who has the gun. You know,
right.
Like, and that's been, you know, like there's this like little like Wild West thing that I've noticed about Portland where it's like,
that is, yeah.
And then it's like met with the like, oh no, no, let's not bother them. We don't want to do that. Let's all be chill. Like that vibe.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
This sounds like quotations from conversations you've had. So
a little bit.
Curious about your perspectives on many things because you've lived in several different cities. You've been in New York and you're from the Chicago area, correct?
Yes.
So,
both much bigger cities.
Both much bigger
cities. With much more history.
Yeah. And I lived in small cities too. Like I grew up outside of Chicago in a small town, that was known for its corn.
Oh yeah. What's it called?
DeKalb, corn. Illinois. If you ever are out in the country, DeKalb corn and seed, first genetically modified corn seed bought by Monsanto.
Really?
In my hometown.
Fascinating.
Is there a college or university?
Northern Illinois University. Okay. Cindy Crawford also went to my high school and founders of barbed wire.
Wow. The devil's rope.
Yes.
Okay.
No, it kept the herds in.
Depends on who you talk to. Yeah.
The Industrial Revolution could never have happened without barbed wire.
It's very true. Yeah. The settling of the West. There would have been no occupation of the Malheur Refuge without barbed wire. So.
Oh, God.
But moving on.
That sound, everyone, was a little regurgitation of my granola french fries from earlier.
Yeah, no kidding. Way to bring the joke back, by the way.
No.
I was just curious, though. I mean, you've lived in several places. So how does Portland, like where you now live, stack up to your experiences across the board in other places?
I really appreciate that you said stack up, not compare.
Ooh.
I've had this hard time, like people be like, I heard Brooklyn's a lot like Portland.
This
every
is a
time,
question you get a lot. Then.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And when I get it, it's like the hardest thing. I mean, you can read my face with all of my expressions.
Yeah,
and
right.
So it's hard not to look at them like, no, you fool. Like nothing compares to New York.
I heard they have stuff.
And also on that
there.
Same vote, like nothing compares to Portland.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean like they're like two polar opposites.
Right.
Like two so it's wonderfully like, weird places.
It's like apples and then something that's not an apple.
Apples
like
and hexagons.
Pomegranates, maybe? Yeah.
Right. So what is being stacked up? Like, how, what do you think about? Like, what makes Portland different than other places you've lived?
I mean, I think that... I'll internalize it. I think that's like probably the safest route to go.
Sure. Sure. Yeah.
My anxiety level has never been the calming that it is now.
Really?
Which is probably terrifying to a lot of people in Portland because they're like, what? She's so strong. How is this better?
It's the city of Prozac. It wears off on anyone who drops in.
Yeah. I mean, I think I've definitely, I'm starting to embrace the pace.
Yeah?
It'll be a year in August.
Is it?
Or no,
is
2 years in August.
Super slow pace to you?
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and this is a faux pas, and like people don't like to admit it here, but it was like, if you didn't do it in New York, you were weird. I had to start going to therapy again here because I was like, everybody's just so slow and I feel so out of place.
Right, right.
I don't know what's going on. And
interesting.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, this is, Portland is also a city of therapy, it seems.
There's a lot of like wellness things around.
Right.
I had a friend tell me once that like I really strongly believe what she said. She's like, everyone moves to Portland because they want to heal from something.
That is an interesting perspective.
And if you think about it at its core, like, you know that. Like, you know there's so many people here that like showed up because they like, you know.
Chuck Palahniuk, you know, the Fight Club writer, local writer. I don't think he lives here anymore, but his book, it's not Stranger Than Fiction. It's crap. I can't remember. But it's a book he wrote.
Choke.
About Portland.
No.
No, it's not Choke.
It's okay. Not Choke. Great book, though. Yeah.
Really amazing book, but very, I don't think it's about healing.
Not about
healing. Well, maybe.
Not quite. But depends on your definition.
Underrated movie, too, yes. By the way. Sam Rockwell did a really good job in that.
God, I feel like I saw it, but I can't remember right now.
Well, you should just watch it again.
Go back, yeah.
Was it set in Portland? No.
No.
Okay.
No.
Wait, so that doesn't get to the
yes,
heart of our question.
Chuck Palahniuk, Portland. He said something very similar in that like people come to Portland basically because they're running from something else or yeah just trying to get away from something.
It was like this amazing like 6 days I spent in Rincon, Puerto Rico, and everyone there had a fake name.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I met a guy named John Locke.
Really?
And my last name is Keys.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how excited I was about that. I don't think that was his real name, and I'm pretty sure he was like running from alimony and like former.
Was there also like a plane crash involved?
There really was. Yeah, it was. It was.
It was like polar bear on the island.
End of the world kind of shit. And then I woke up, and it was really all a dream.
It is fascinating to me to think about like people. People seem like they show up here to reinvent themselves in some way, like. There are varying levels of how much people are willing to share about where they came from and varying levels of how much they're willing to share about who they are now to the people from whence they came. So, yeah.
Which I find interesting because, like, I didn't come here to change anything besides my anxiety levels. And, like, I just didn't want to have a heart attack at 35.
Yeah.
And that was, like, why. And, like, it was kind of a happy accident.
Right.
You know, like I came out here in August of 2014 and I was like, I'm going to just hang out for like 6 months.
There we go.
I got a job. I got an apartment. Portland was extremely welcoming.
And now it's been how long?
It'll be 2 years in August.
There you go.
Nice.
You know, yeah. And it's home. I love it here. I really do. I feel like it's this beautiful meld of like where I grew up and then kind of where I've been, but not like it's hard to explain.
Right.
It has been challenging though, because like it's these things that I probably would experience anywhere I went where it's like, how do I explain the life and the person I was in Brooklyn and the friends that I had, the things that we were doing.
Right.
Like, you know, like nothing really compares to that.
Just stacks up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you've been here as long as you have. It seems like a good place for you to land.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it so far.
And in 2 years, you've made a pretty good home for yourself. Pretty.
Yeah,
pretty,
I think I talked to too many people, and I.
That is
I'm a
good
a
way.
A little too friendly.
Good way into people's hearts, you know. I mean, you establish yourself as a personality. You invent or reinvent or simply present yourself, and then there you are. And
yeah.
You've been on the KBOO Bike Show for you said how long now?
I think it's technically this month will be my 5th month, but like as a co-host, it's the last month.
Okay.
Yeah. Like
your
I was
first,
a guest.
Yeah.
So yeah. And we're talking about Film by Bike this weekend.
Yes.
This week on Wednesday morning.
Which you were a juror.
I was a juror, and so were you. Fist bumps.
That was an invisible fist bump here in the studio. It was good.
I'm excited. I have two people staying in my house, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I have a filmmaker named Matthew Nemmer.
I didn't know we could sign up to host filmmakers.
We can. Yeah. I know. And his producer is coming. They're coming. And what I think is adorable is that I sent them my cell phone number, which is a Chicago number. And they were like, whoa, we met in Chicago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they were like in Chicago around the same time I was. So it'll be fun.
You mean the producer and the other person?
The producer and the filmmaker.
You had not met them prior.
I have not met them, no.
Gotcha. But they're staying at your house.
They're staying at my house.
Yeah. That, welcome to Portland.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, and upon, maybe this is TMI, but whatever. Upon a Google search, one of the gentlemen was rated the number one single gentleman in 2014 in Nashville, Tennessee.
Really?
Nice. Yeah.
Nice.
What are the qualifications? I mean, I guess someone
He's kind of smoking hot from photos.
Well,
so
there you go.
I'm assuming it's that.
Well, but I mean, that's just, he's just the most eligible bachelor in that area. You are the host of the most eligible bachelor.
He's staying with me.
That's right. So get your knife ready again.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder what the competition's like in Nashville, Tennessee as well.
I mean, Nashville seems like it seems like LA with a cowboy hat on. Like, you gotta, like,
well, there's a lot of recording studios out there.
Yes. You gotta step your game up, is what I'm thinking. But yeah. So
but the thing about recording studios is, like, most of those bands show up, record, and leave.
And then take off, that's
true. Right. Yeah. What was it like being a juror for Film by Bike?
It was great. I screwed up because I was supposed to come last year.
Uh-huh.
But I got laryngitis.
Well, it's hard to talk about bike films when you have laryngitis.
You're like on death's bed.
Yeah.
So I was excited to do it this year. I think it was fun.
This was the year to do it, really.
Yeah. I'm excited, too, because there were ones that we didn't even see.
No.
Right. There's more.
There's
more in the bag.
There's, like, once the final list was sent out.
And I was late that first day.
What is this one?
I was talking to Aileen the other day, and I was like, man, I saw, like, the preview at the Bike Bingo, and I didn't see half of those movies, and I didn't think I was that late on Friday. She's just laughing at me. So, yeah.
Nice.
No, I'm excited, and I'm making a pinata.
There we go. Where will this pinata be beat?
For the
street party Friday night at the block party.
What is the pinata going to be filled with?
You got to come and see it.
Okay.
You can't. That's the one thing I will never tell somebody is, like, what's in the pinata.
What's in the pinata?
Yeah. You tell them, they're like, oh, they drop the bat and walk away.
Exactly.
It's no good.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
Or, like, no one bum rushes the ground if they know what's in there. Like, stale candy. No thanks.
I did not want Starlight Mints. or Werther's.
Speaking of pinatas and candies,
yes,
I'm going to interject here.
Oh, yeah.
Because we got pinata filler.
We got pinata filler.
Hey. You do? Can you give it to me for Friday? Because I didn't get any filler.
Well, I just brought a couple pieces. My mom sent me a bunch of candy from Mexico.
Can I do this?
What
can you
kind?
Turn me up?
Yeah.
This is a pinata song.
That's right.
Is that what's sitting in front of me?
Yes.
I was wondering if those were like the pepper suckers.
So my mom sent me a bunch of Mexican candy on a whim. I don't know what. She wasn't even in Mexico. She just bought
there.
All this candy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, wait. Never mind. She was.
Okay.
I forgot. Yeah, she was down in Brownsville for a few weeks, and that's probably what all of this is from.
Yeah.
Brownsville's like right next, like right on the border. Oh,
okay.
So I'm sure she went across.
Yeah.
Anyways, so she sent these candies, and she was like, it'd be really funny if you guys tried these on your podcast.
Okay.
So,
well, we're doing this now then.
So let's do this.
You know, I've had these before.
It's been a while for me.
I don't think I've ever had them.
It's got a lime and a pineapple
and a
who are friends.
Pineapple and a lime.
Yeah, but then they like screw with you, and they didn't put the pepper.
Yeah. Wait, so it's like a surprise?
No, it's going to be like a surprise, like, my mouth's on fire.
Right. Okay. We're doing this on the air.
Well, that's not too bad.
It's definitely more pineapple.
It is.
Which I appreciate.
I really like a sucker. Like, a good sucker, like, one that tastes good. Because there are the ones that don't. But this one's all right.
Yeah. But
yeah,
you'll notice a little
there
bit longer. You got the pepper. There you go. Yeah, yeah, you just, if you...
I'm not there yet.
Yeah. You got to, like, stick it on your tongue.
So
and
I got to confess, I was really afraid of this.
I grew up in... I grew up in DeKalb, Illinois.
Yeah.
Really
close
to...
Just a little bit of pepper. Okay, keep going.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah. Really close to Chicago. And so what the pinata thing... By the way, to all of the listeners, I, yes, make custom-made pinatas as well with a company called Yavis Designs.
Nice.
And I have since 2007.
Nice.
And I grew up in a small town. We had a very large Hispanic population outside of Chicago, Illinois. And we had a bodega... Or like a caniciera, and in my neighborhood, called
a store.
The Spotlight.
Yeah.
For people that don't know what that is, it's just a store that basically Mexicans own.
Yes.
But they had piñatas all the time, and then they had these candies, and we would always, they would like give us these candies for free.
Oh, really?
Because we never wanted them.
Yeah.
You know, like you could get penny candy of
the
good
stuff.
These are
left over, yeah.
And then like they would be like, here, take the weird pepper thing that nobody wants. And then you would like... basically sit in the backyard and be like, no, you try it. No, you try it. And then the dog would eat it.
I double dog dare you.
And then the dog would eat it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can have much more of this, though. Like, the pepper is really,
like,
coming through.
And then, like, the sugar where you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah. I really like the sweet and hot thing that's going on here.
Oh, totally. It's like my burritos that I make for lunch with peanut butter and sriracha. Yeah.
You can take this home and, like, crush it.
Yeah.
And then, like... put it in a tortilla.
Exactly.
With your lunch.
Sriracha. Peanut butter and sriracha and Stubbs barbecue sauce and pinto beans and cheese. That's all wrapped up in a Mission tortilla. Or Don Poncho, I think, is the local alternative to Mission.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They're pretty good.
That sounds about as bad as my go-to when I don't have anything in the fridge, which is mayonnaise and pickle.
Oh, there you go.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
all right.
Fucking delicious.
Yeah, yeah. That's basically
so
relish,
wrong,
right?
Dude.
Yeah.
So wrong.
It's good stuff.
do
it's usually
a favor.
On a tortilla or like.
Do yourself a favor. Add some peanut butter. I'm telling you, lady.
Hey, so what happens if I've had this sucker? Now what happens if I drink more beer? That's my question.
Your tongue will fall off.
No, it was fine. Well, I think
you've just kind of, you got the pepper and then the beer. This is pretty much like my birthday parties.
There we go.
You know, growing up.
Perfect. Yeah.
Like the adults have like, you know, the hot pepper candy.
Was it really like it?
Did you guys ever?
Drinking the beer, watching the kids like all scramble for the pinata.
So I grew up in a college town and I started drinking very early in life.
You're lucky.
Yeah. And we, I will admit that, Zima was a thing when
Zima.
I was growing up.
Do they still make Zima?
No, they do not still make Zima.
I haven't
Zima.
Seen it in many years.
But I can remember getting intoxicated in a very young age with Zima, and we used Twizzlers as straws.
Yeah, we tried that on the podcast with Anna's mom, and it wasn't that great, but it was the wrong beverage. Like, if we'd had Zima,
seriously,
would have been fine.
Zima and Twizzlers.
You can still get Smirnoff Ice, which is similar. But, like, basically a cloudy malt beverage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also Goldschlager, that was another thing from my childhood.
Oh, yeah. So we should say, of course, that we do not condone
underage drinking.
That would be wrong and immoral and illegal. All of these things we look down on and frown upon. That being said, you're very lucky to have been inducted so early.
Well, some good differ.
It depends.
Some days of the week, I would question that as well.
Depends, yeah, on your experience, I'm sure. But to each their own, and to each their own path. Is there anything else you'd like to share about your experience in Portland so far?
I do find it very amazing here. With all of its wonderful challenges.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I'm excited to be a part of this next chapter. Which is coming whether everyone wants it to or not.
Right. You mean economically, like the whole the wave of development and new shops and beards and things.
Yeah, the wave of development,
all the
new shops,
big burgers and...
all of the change, all of the people, the influx from California.
Suspenders.
Or anywhere, really. It's not just California.
It's not just California. It's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of Brooklyn here, too.
Right. And people from the Midwest and
Great
and
Lakes
such.
Represent.
That's right, yeah.
Yes, I'm part of that too.
Oh, that's right.
And also
Lake
people
Michigan.
From the suburbs of Tacoma, Washington.
Yes.
That's me.
But I think the other thing about it too is that, like, coming from Chicago and coming from Brooklyn, and being slightly a part of like the city government and like just knowing enough about like how the infrastructure ran.
Like public process. You've been involved before.
On the like very peripheral realm.
Yeah.
But I'm a little excited to see about maybe getting more involved.
Okay. So you're announcing your campaign for mayor.
No, there's way too many people on that docket already.
It is interesting. If you look at all the candidates for like all of them.
Yeah.
It only costs what, like $40 to put yourself in the running.
Oh, really? Yeah.
So there That's are like some super people cheap. That are just like, you know.
Yeah.
I like pansies. I want to grow them.
Yeah.
You know, that's the platform.
We're going to do this. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yes. So you're excited to see how you can be involved in making this place more livable for more people more often.
I think the thing is like if I had known more about the city structure of Portland, I probably would not have moved here.
Really?
Like the fact that the council, like there's no, so like I came from a place where like aldermen.
By the way, I have very little knowledge of any of this.
I feel like I am definitely need to like note that like I know only like half of what I speak of.
sure. But you're familiar.
Like I am not the most well-versed in like city.
Sure.
Especially Portland city stuff.
Yeah. But alderman, you said, is how things were run where you came from.
Well, yeah. Like in Chicago, you have an alderman and the alderman represents your neighborhood.
There we
go.
Then
you move to New York and you have council members and those council members represent your neighborhood or your borough. But your neighborhood specific in your borough. And so you have like literally like I can remember my last year in Chicago being able to like walk down the street and get coffee and then go into the alderman's office and say hi to Manny Flores, who was the alderman at the time.
How's it going?
And be like, hey, what's up? And have a conversation.
Right.
You know, and then there'd be like nine old ladies there being like, someone stole my newspaper or like, you know,
like, we're going to look into that.
Like, you know, they're selling drugs on the alley. And everyone's like, well, yeah.
Yep.
Like that's
welcome
what
to Chicago.
That's what Logan Square is.
Sure. Whereas in Portland, you're in a situation where you've got basically four mayors.
Yeah.
Or
and
five
like,
mayors or something.
And none
they're all
of
kind
them
of competing with each other.
Well, but like everybody on the council, they're not neighborhood representatives.
Right. Yeah, they're service-based commissioners.
Yeah. And
so.
I'm pretty sure like, I don't know if this is right. Maybe we need to Google it, but like, don't they all live in Southwest?
Mostly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I thought it was a requirement to live in Southwest.
I mean, kind of.
You have to have money.
Yeah. Meritocracy or what do you call it?
It is not a meritocracy.
No. I mean, this is all commentary. These are our own opinions. You know, you can have your own. We're okay.
This is
with
where
that.
We also say that I'm on my second beer.
That's right.
Yeah.
But you're excited.
There was
anyways.
Something weird in that sucker.
That's right. That's about right. That's the public process. You want to know like how can we make this city better in the future?
Well, and I think that the thing is like I've kind of lived my life in that like these happy accidents of like, well, this is why I'm here.
Yeah.
And there is this part of me that's like, wait, I went through this gentrification.
Uh-huh.
I'm 35 years old and I can sit here and say that like I have been through this struggle now twice.
Like I've seen this before in other places.
Yeah. Like when I moved into Chicago, I literally lived in a one bedroom apartment on the corner of an alley, that was in between the Jewel Osco and the soup kitchen. And when I walked in to my new one bedroom apartment by myself that I was so excited about, there was a bat in the middle of the floor with a ribbon on it and a note that said, shit gets rough around here.
You're going to need this. Like a baseball bat?
And it's been by my bedside ever since.
There you go.
And it was called, like, and this is terrible, but my friends dibbed the alley by my house, Hobo Highway.
Okay.
And
it was a transient thoroughfare.
Well, because you would go to the dumpsters at Jewel Osco and Dumpster Dive, and then you go down to the soup kitchen and get a hot meal.
Ah, okay. Sure. I mean, it sounds kind of like me, but in different circumstances. But yeah.
I've done a fair share of dumpster diving. In New York, it's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
What you can get.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was this like dodgy place. And my apartment that I lived in then, like just the building just sold for like $2 million.
Right. And it's about to become like some.
Well,
some
it already became that.
Potted plant. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that whole neighborhood has already become that. And it became that like 6 years ago.
Right. So you've seen it happen before. You're like, this is kind of a force of nature. But there are ways that we can kind of like accommodate and still be good people as tycoons build towers.
Well, yeah. And I think the thing is, it's like, it's a testament to our generation. Like, people want to live in cities.
Uh-huh.
You know, like our family, like we grew up in suburbs and we hated it.
Right.
Or we grew up in like rural towns and we're like, this is bullshit. There's nothing to do here.
Yeah.
And so
and all
we've
we wanted is like a town square and a coffee shop and everything.
Exactly. And so we've all moved to that, or we are developing that wherever we land. I mean, because it's even happening when I go back to the Midwest where it's like, you know, like Springfield, Illinois is like, got a cute little epicenter where you can like walk and get coffee.
No
and, like,
shit.
You know,
is
I mean,
it cheap?
yeah, you can get a house for $150,000 there.
Thinking about this. Okay.
And my cousins who are really lovely and also have a independent TV show.
There we go.
Nice.
You can hang out with them.
Fabulous.
Put you to work.
But you're ready to kind of like look at some of these things as you inhabit the city you're in.
Or like just be a part of the dialogue. That, you know, instead of hearing everybody bitching and moaning about like, it's getting too expensive, I'm leaving.
Keep on talking.
Yeah, you know, and it's like, well, then, like, what's your agency?
Sure.
And I think that that's the
what
problem.
What can you do?
Well, yeah, and I think that's the hard part for me is to sit in a town that, like, where everybody feels agentless when it's the whitest place I've ever lived, and it's everyone's sitting here being agentless, and I'm like, you guys have more agency than the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Like, you're, I mean, like, this town is percentage-wise white. Male. Like, it's like you can do whatever the hell you want.
It seems like there's something to be said for and I feel like we've talked about this once or twice before, like making a place where you are. Like I realized that I was okay that I couldn't go to like my favorite bar in the middle of town anymore, and it's okay that it turns out that the place where I live has some cool bars. Like,
well,
new places can be created.
No, and I think that that's also a testament, like so Brian Sisfil from Paz and he just posted last week about like looking at property out in 92nd.
And I think it's public. I think we can share this.
I hope so. I mean, he put it on Facebook.
He has a compound.
Did he?
Yes.
Okay, he got it.
Paz 2.0 is a reality.
I think
which
that
means
is
that
the most,
bike punks are moving east.
Yeah. Like I think it is the most brilliant and badass thing to do. It's like, you know what? Yeah. Like we cultivated in Southeast 10 years ago. You know, like people cultivated in Wicker Park, Chicago, and then Logan Square. And then like now they're moving out into the suburbs and having family because that's where it's cheap. You know, like Brooklyn was the place to be, and like Fort Greene and Bed-Stuy. And now everybody's like moving out to the Rockaways or Jersey because you can't afford it anymore.
Right.
It's like, like that flight happens. So how do you affect like your living situation to make it what you want and like have the agency to do that? And if you are stubborn and pissed and want to stay and like make Northeast Portland the cheap mecca that it was in the 90s, then don't just sit and bitch, like do something about it.
Right on.
But that's the thing,
the cornerstone of a participatory government is to participate.
Is this the music where I get on my soapbox?
That's right.
This is our call to action. Make it.
I don't know. Portland.
That's the best call to action we've ever had. That was good stuff, though. Two questions before we wrap up and go to our headlines and news. I'm curious, what's something that a lot of people have that you can do without?
TV. Not a knife, I know that.
No, I need my knife. I'm like battling between the TV and the car.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mainly because I just want an adventure car since I've been out here, because you can't get on a train like you could in New York.
Right.
And just be up in the mountains.
Yeah.
So maybe TV.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kill your television.
I haven't had one since 2001, after 9/11, actually.
Mm-hmm. Netflix okay?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But it's on a little tiny baby.
Right. But like, choose your own programming. Yeah. Don't let someone else choose your don't just sit mindlessly in front of a tube.
Yeah.
Okay, nice.
And I tend to, like, binge watch while pinata making.
There you go. It's nice to have something for your eyes to do while you're weaving. How do you make a pinata?
Paper mache.
Okay, right. There we go.
Yeah. We'll teach you.
Forgive my ignorance.
Yeah. Newspaper and... Yeah. And like flour and water.
We're doing this right after the show.
Yeah. Don't worry, I've got some work I can put you to.
Second question, what's your next bicycle adventure?
I don't have any. Well, New York. I'm going back to New York in June.
Nice.
And so I'm actually really excited about this. Pulaski Bridge, which was the bridge I used to take from Brooklyn to Long Island City, Queens for work every morning.
Uh-huh.
My friends years and years ago started a campaign to get a bike lane over the bridge because it was a shared walkway.
Yeah.
That's actually like half the size of the Broadway Bridge walkway.
Really?
And it all has been accomplished, and they just opened the bridge last weekend.
So you're going to ride over that.
So I'm going to ride over that. That's like, I know it's not like I'm going like 700 miles with 9,000 elevation. Like, screw that. I'm going to Brooklyn and I'm biking over the Pulaski Bridge.
It's a brand new infrastructure project. Yeah. That's been finished. That's an adventure. It's new, uncharted territory, as it were.
And it's going to be weird because you have no idea how much fighting with traffic you would like in maneuvering.
I bet.
Yeah. Lots of like track stand moments where you're like, I should be moving right now. And for some reason, I'm not.
Nice. Well, congratulations. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Are you taking your bike back with you, or are you using one that's there?
I'm going to borrow a friend's.
There we go. Sounds like a good idea. Yeah.
Too much for shipping.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. Very cool. Well, Meg Keys, thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having
me,
I
hope
guys.
You come back someday.
Yes.
Because I feel like we have more to talk about.
Yes. And we'll have you on the KBOO Bike Show soon, too.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Even if we don't have more to talk about, we'll make something up.
Yeah, I think that we're pretty good at it, actually. Just bring some
It's kind
fries.
Of the crux of podcasting, actually.
The KBOO Bike Show has always been a bastion of awesomeness in Portland because it's been, you know, something on the airwaves doing a thing. But when you came on as a co-host, there was a marked change in flavor of the show, and I liked it. So I'm glad you're there.
Yeah. I did our banter of like the squeaky bike wheels.
Yes. Yes. That was good.
Just wait till Wednesday morning, guys.
That's right. Ooh. And how do people find the KBOO Bike Show if they want to?
You can go online to the KBOO.com.org.
I would imagine.
Try them both. See which works.
I bet one.
I think it's .org, actually, guys.
Probably so. It's not a commercial enterprise.
God, I'm usually really good at marketing.
That's okay.
Such a jerk.
.com.
It is .com. They just updated the website, which is actually really amazing. If you guys do want to go on and check it out, you can very easily listen online at all
it's
hours
also
of the day.
.org.
There we
it's
go.
The same website.
Both. And then I think it's /bike show.
There we go. So. All right. Sounds good. And if you go to Portland Transport, just Google that. I'm sure I should know. PortlandTransport.org.com. Who knows? it's all archived there.
Yeah. So. And there is also a link on the KBOO site for it, too.
Yeah, it's all over the internet.
It is. We Excellent. Are all over. Yeah. Facebook works, too.
Very good. Well, we don't have both a .org and a .com, but do you know what we do have?
A podcast.
We got mail. Hey, we got mail.
Part two.
That's right. I'm going to enjoy the tasty mail while we're reading the other mail.
We'll read the mail first.
All right.
First off, we got a new donor.
Yes.
Nathan Poulton.
Nathan Poulton,
Thank
whose name
you.
I've seen. I think I've seen his name on Twitter, I'm guessing.
Oh, and yeah, the name sounds really familiar.
Yeah. But thank you, Nathan. Again, everyone who donates, we really appreciate it. If it's just $2 a month to start out with, we send you stickers. You can give as much or as little as you want. And if you want us to do something that you don't see listed there, let us know.
Yeah.
We're flexible.
We're really open to suggestions.
Totally.
Hey, I ran into not Sean, Sean's brother.
Yeah.
Terry, I can't believe I forgot his name.
From the Beer Mongers, the Southeast Division and 12.
He really enjoyed our talk about the Ron. He said he wants to do it.
I was wondering if he was there. Now I know he was not. Okay, yeah. I should ask him if he wants to go some weekend because I want to do it like when there's not a bunch of stretchy guys there.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. Also, we got a voicemail from Scott. So here comes the voicemail from Scott.
Hey, Brock and Aaron, this is Scott McAllister Morgan.
Oh, yeah.
I actually just got to participate in the update to the Valley Transportation Authority's bike plan. That's for Santa Clara County. It was fun. A bunch of bike nerds got to gather around a map of Santa Clara County with most of the roadways and bike paths and mark out problem spots and just give a bunch of great feedback. Love the show. Bye.
Oh, thanks, Scott. It's good to hear people being a part of the public process. This is like the only way things get better is if people come put their heads together. So sounds like he's doing that. Thanks, Scott. Fabulous. What else we got?
David commented on episode 222, bikeindex.org.
Where you can register your stolen bike.
I would have loved to have been able to find my Kona that was stolen back in June. If I had known about this, I would have registered it. next bike will be.
Definitely. We can't talk it up enough. Bikeindex.org. Yes. And seriously, folks, if you have a bicycle.
Doesn't cost a thing to register.
It's free. If you haven't written down your serial number, that's the one piece of yes. information that can help you get your stolen bike back. So make
I made sure to text it to
yes.
people so that not only other people have it, but now the federal government who monitors everything I do has it.
Okay. That's a good strategy. Tim Mooney from Pedal Shift shares a transit nerdery timetable. I'm not going to read the whole thing here, but this is kind of how things shake out for buses you can take from south to north, from Brookings back to PDX, Portland, Oregon. 2 days by transit to get back, which is not a bad trade-off if you take like 5 days to bike down the Oregon coast. So Tim sent this in. Actually, a lot of these are from, like a month or two back. And so thanks, everybody, for writing in. And I'm just now getting to it. He says day two, starting at 7 a.m. and getting into Tillamook at 3:10 p.m. Day two is craze balls, but possible. So the options exist. I will post all of this in super small font on our website so people can read it if they want to. But that is an option.
Yes. Next up, Kokua Bikes wants you to know about them. Aloha, I found your podcast through Bicycle Times. They sent out a note that they were on your podcast. I was wondering how to put out the word that Kokua Bikes USA distribution has new energetic leadership.
Woo!
And I went to their website. Kokua Bikes is a kids bike company builder.
Nice.
Yeah, so they do balance bikes and then small, I don't know if they're all geared, but small kids bikes.
Oh, nice.
And they're split up by ages.
To get people into the best pastime ever.
They look really hardy, too. Like, these look like bikes that even though your kid is probably going to grow out of them, hopefully.
Yeah. most likely so. Your child will grow. Check with your pediatrician. Not available in all areas. Yeah. But if you want a good quality, so what?
Anyways, it looks like these are going to last regardless. Yeah. Like, it's really easy for kids things, clothes and shoes in particular is what I'm thinking about, to be made of really cheap stuff because, they're eventually going to grow out of them.
Right.
So,
but this is one that you could pass on to the neighbor once you're done with it.
Yeah, they look really hardy.
Also, talk to your neighbors before you have kids and make sure that their kids are going to be just a little bit younger than yours so you can pass on a balance bike to them.
Or just get their permission.
Or sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Can we have a kid?
Can we have kids?
Okay.
Actually, wait. I think it's kind of like with bees.
Yeah.
You have to go around a certain radius and get everyone to sign off that they're not allergic.
There we go. Otherwise, the hive swarms and they kick out the queen and find a new one.
Yeah.
Okay. We're all set. So thank you, Kokua Bikes.
You guys are going to be great dads. For real.
Thank you. Richard.
Well, you'll know I'll get my permission from all of my neighbors first.
Am I in your radius?
I don't think so.
Okay. Richard asked about Bicycle Times Providence. Where are they from? Where do they come from? He says, I love Bicycle Times Magazine. Been a subscriber since the first issue. He goes way back. He knew them before they were cool, although they've always been cool. It's perfected. It's the perfect magazine that aligns with the way I ride, which I'm assuming is not super racy. I'm surprised to see that Adam is a Portland resident. Does that mean the magazine is based out of Portland as well? I've always assumed it was produced in Pittsburgh, where their publication company, Rotating Mass Media, is headquartered. And I texted Adam about this before the show, and he said, well, he lives in PDX, Adam does, and the owner of the publication lives in California, so they're kind of all over the place.
Yeah, I always kind of thought it was a Portland-based.
Right. But you know what? That's the appeal of Bicycle Times. It's for the common person.
I wonder, like, if there's people in other states who are reading Bicycle Times and like, oh,
I
assumed it was published over here.
Sounds like Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So anyways, there's that, and the question has been answered.
Awesome.
Lastly,
Anna's mom from episode...
What's up, Anna's mom?
235 says, after I did that show with Brock and Aaron, I knew I had to go to this event.
What event was that?
This was a kind of like a Better Block / Sunday Parkways type event in Tulsa.
I love those.
And also worth noting that since she visited Portland, she has gotten a Brompton bicycle.
A folding bicycle that she can take anywhere she wants to go?
Yes.
Really?
I mean, it helps that her daughter works for a Brompton dealer. But yeah. I'll read this real quick. Everyone was having fun. We went on a bike tour of architectural features along 11th Avenue, I'm assuming.
Or Street.
There in Tulsa.
Goes both ways.
And then ate some really great tacos at one of the many taco food trucks that were set up. Got to demonstrate Brompton a couple times. I actually cleaned it up for the event. Windex gets cow manure out of tires for future reference.
There we go.
It's worth noting. If you go on Clever Cycles Instagram, you'll see pictures of that Brompton on her farm. Yeah, she rides it around to do farm chores.
That's fantastic. I thought you were going to say a picture of Windex.
But and you'll see a picture of Windex.
It's like my big fat Greek wedding, right? Yeah, it's good for everything.
There's a picture of Betsy in front of a taco truck there with the Brompton in the back.
Ah, good for her.
This is a really good picture right here of the bike lane.
Yeah. Meg, can you see that?
There's the bike lane with some cones.
That's right.
It's like a very temporary sign. Yes,
it's been set up.
We think this may happen someday soon. Everyone.
One day.
I would like a portable bike lane sign I could just carry with me.
That's a good idea.
Here you go.
Yeah. What is that group that does the like kind of rogue bike lane stuff,
like the Bike Cone Loud? Brigade thing, or
in town,
it's not Bike Loud, is it?
I don't think it's Bike Loud. They're the ones that just did the like the
Portman Department of Transformation.
Yes,
sound right?
Yes,
maybe
they maintain little kind of rogue installations that help calm traffic.
Yes,
okay. Not approved by the city of Portland. And, but of course, we can't
PDX
tell you.
PDX Transformation.
Yes. Okay,
yes.
Yeah.
I feel like PDX Transformation needs that or has that and needs to share that with all of us.
Right. And we're not saying it's legal to do this, but it's super cool when people set up their own infrastructure.
You know, it's
We don't recommend. We don't advocate that you do this.
It's not legal, but.
Is it illegal?
But also, there aren't enough cops in Portland, and
I doubt anyone will do anything about it because of
passivity.
I haven't seen anyone prosecuted yet.
We are not telling you to break the law.
No.
We would never tell you to do that.
Nope.
All right. Hey, we've got a calendar.
Yes. You know what? When you're not breaking the law,
you
can go to these events.
It's not against the law to go to Film by Bike. That's coming up this weekend.
Friday.
And not only movies, but pinatas.
That's right. Yes. Film by Pinata.
So, can I confess?
Yes.
I just got my VIP pass. Registered for it today. Yeah.
I got my tickets last week.
Don't think I did.
Yeah.
I think I got two because I was a juror and I have people staying in my house.
Oh, okay.
I should probably check into that, though.
Right.
I'll talk to Aileen on Wednesday.
Make your plans now. There's also the street party.
I'm half expecting to get an email back from them sorry, everybody already took all the advance tickets.
You can't.
Too late, juror.
I'm just going to jump over the table. Juror, bitches!
I picked these people!
Film by Bike, movies about bikes and bike lifestyles. May 6th, 7th, and 8th, 2016. The street party is Friday night at Velocult. When you hear this, Friday, 5 to 9.
5 to 30. 9:30.
That's right.
Coming up May 15th and throughout the summer, Sunday Parkways, and they need volunteers.
Right. May 15th is the first time that they shut down the roads on Sundays somewhere in Portland, and that happens for 5 months.
Where's the first one? Is that
I think it's
southeast.
East Portland.
It's southeast
Or is
first?
It southeast? Okay. Somewhere... Usually it's East Portland, kind of out by Lentz and Gilbert and all that. But there's that. So it's coming up. Portland, what is it? PortlandSundayParkways.org.
PortlandSundayParkways.org.
Is the information where you can find out not only when those are, but how you can be involved and how you can volunteer. And they need volunteers because...
And they have a Spanish-speaking site as well.
They do.
Look at that. Awesome.
That says, "Welcome to Portland Sunday Parkways."
Yes.
I know that because I can read those things.
Does it say cerveza? Because I'm there.
Yes, that and where is your bathroom? And I have cheese in my head. I know how to say all these things.
Looking to see if they posted where...
The only reason I said Southeast is because I got invited to a Southeast one on Facebook.
So. Oh, there we go. Yeah. Okay. And famously, they've had Facebook events for all of these. So you can invite your friends on the social media platform of your choice.
Okay. Sorry. Back on track here.
Yeah. We're super 18th? Close. Let's go back to that tab because I think you found the answer that we're looking for.
Okay. I was going to move on, but yeah.
Looking at
May 15th, East Portland Sunday Parkways, 11 to 4, 7 mile loop. That's the one that goes past Glenwood Park in the Gilbert neighborhood, the Gilbert School.
Oh.
And the Springwater Corridor and many things. So, yeah, it's happening. And they're all listed there at PortlandSundayParkways.org.
Yeah.
You probably don't need to bring your knife that day.
Maybe not.
No.
Maybe not. I mean, there's policemen at lots of those intersections guiding traffic.
I occasionally volunteer for Bikes for Humanity.
Oh, yeah.
And they generally have a little pop-up stand there. So
nice, nice.
You may or may not find me.
You might be there. Yeah.
Mention on some bikes.
Fabulous. May 18th, just a scant 3 days after that, Music and Bikes, the Guilty Pleasures Ride.
Ooh.
This is the one that I'm leading.
I was going to say, is this the tiger suit ride?
Yes. I'll be in a tiger suit. I'll have my sound system on my bike.
You know, that's how we met.
Was it?
At, I forgot Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's right, because I was wearing the tiger suit.
You gave me the pass to do Film by Bike that year that I got sick.
That's
actually.
Right. Yeah, yeah. All right. We swapped prizes at Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to tune up.
Yeah. So it's May 18th, and it's a Wednesday night. I am going to be testing out my sound system to make sure it works for Pedalpalooza, basically.
Cool.
But we're going to do a couple of these rides before I leave for my summer fun. So come out and join us, would you? June 10th.
June 10th, the Little Lebowski Urban Achievers Ride.
Oh, yeah. This is the one where they enact various scenes from classic cult movie, The Big Lebowski.
Your roommate's involved in that.
My housemate is going to be the dude this year, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think he was the dude last year.
I'm also lending my sound system to this ride.
Okay.
So I will be playing all the hits. June 15th, the Pollen Ride. That's suggested by Gerald. He and I are co-leading this one. We commiserate
with fellow allergen sufferers.
That's 6:15
right. At the Veracat statue.
We're going to celebrate having allergies, whether you like it or not.
That's the cool kid party.
That's right. And lastly, on our calendar,
the third annual Bike Mechanic Challenge, Saturday, June 18th from 6:30 to 10 at VeloCult.
That's right. Is it $10 admission or $5 if you're in the bicycle industry?
If you are in the bicycle industry, yeah. It's $5. It's $50 to, it might be more than that, don't quote me, to register as a mechanic.
I heard it was like $150.
Okay. It's $150.
I heard it was like $85,000.
There you go.
It's a lot.
It's a down payment on a house.
That's right. And the prize is that house.
Hey, you guys forgot Bike More Challenge.
Oh, what? Tell us about this.
Bike More Challenge started yesterday morning, everyone.
Yes.
Get on it. Go to bikemorechallenge.com. Yeah. It's the Bicycle Transportation Alliance, my former employers, and where several of my dear friends work. They are doing it's the old bike commute challenge. However, it's Bike More Challenge. So you can log any of the biking that you do.
You don't have to commute. You can ride anywhere.
Anywhere. Yeah. So get in, log on, get your jobs to start doing it. Lots of fun stuff going on there.
Yeah.
Tonight they're having a big party at the bike galleries, but we're missing it.
That already happened. Yeah. I'm sorry.
But there'll be a big party at the end of the month, and it's going to – I don't need to hang out at Bike Gallery anymore, guys.
Hey, you know, and the big parties.
I worked there for too long.
Big parties. Yeah.
Yes.
You've been everywhere in town. Everywhere cool anyways.
Yeah, I can't say no to things.
Want to do another podcast sometime?
Sure.
Hey,
give me beer.
Speaking of podcasts, we should probably close this one out.
I suppose so.
All right. I mean, we'll go as long as people will stand to listen to us, but I fear that we're pushing that limit right now.
We might be.
All right.
Do we have a theme?
Nah.
No? Meg's like,
bikes?
No.
Right, exactly. Let's be enthusiastic.
Let me turn you up here.
Our website is thesprocketpodcast.com.
Email to thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com.
Call or text to 503-847-9774.
Twitter at Sprocket Podcast.
Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for our theme music.
Herbert for our headline sounder.
Marcus Norman for graphic design.
Thanks to sustaining donors Logan Smith, Johnny K. Shadowfoot,
Katrina Millengard, Wayne Norman, Doug Robertson,
Ethan Georgie, Justin Martin, Eric Iverson,
Cameron Lean, Richard Wazenski, Tim Mooney,
Orange and Purple, Glenn Kubish, Matt Kelly,
Jim Gooden, Eric Weiss, Doug Cohen Miller,
Todd Parker, Scott McAllister Morgan, Chris Gonzalez,
Dan Gebhardt, Zoe Campagna, Andy Brunner,
Dave Knows, Chris Smith, Christy Kaster,
Caleb Jenkinson, JP Keeley, Peanut Butter Jar Matt,
Patrick Archain, Sebastian Poole, Marco Lowe,
Rich Otterstrom, Andrew Alderson, Drew the Welder,
Anna Krista, John Wasserman, Andre Johnson,
Shelley and Troy, King of Division, Josh Zissen,
Richard G., Guthrie Straw, Christopher Barnett,
Brandon Shelby, Campsite, Aaron Green,
and Mac Nurse David.
And now, Catherine, right?
And, yes, and Catherine and Nathan.
And that other guy, Nathan.
Robert Polson.
That's
his name is Robert Polson.
It's not.
His name is Robert Polson.
It's Nathan.
Oh, Nathan Polson.
But good try.
It was a Fight Club reference.
You almost had me there.
Okay.
Brush your teeth.
Go to bed.